In the drawing room, however, when I entered, only Aunt Dahlia met the eye. It seemed to me that she gave me a rather jaundiced look as I hove in sight. But this, having so recently beheld Tuppy in his agony, I attributed to the fact that she, like him, had been going light on the menu. You can't expect an empty aunt to beam like a full aunt. "Oh, it's you, detective," she said. Well, it was, of course. "Where's Angela?" I asked. "Gone to bed." "Already?" "She said she had a headache." I wasn't so sure that I liked the sound of that so much. A girl who has observed the sundered lover sensationally off his feet does not go to bed with headaches if love has been reborn in her heart. She sticks around and gives him the swift, remorseful glance from beneath drooping eyelashes and generally endeavours to convey to him that if he wants to get together across a round table and try to find a formula, she's all for it. Yes, I am bound to say I found that going to bed stuff a bit disquieting. "Gone to bed, eh?" I murmured musingly. "What do you want her for?" "I thought she might like to stroll and chat." "Are you going for a stroll?" said Aunt Dahlia with a sudden show of interest. "Where?" "Oh, hither and thither." "Then I wonder if you would mind doing something for me." "Give it a name." "It won't take you long. You know that path that runs past the greenhouses into the kitchen garden? If you go along it, you come to a pond."
"That's right."
"Well, will you get a good stout piece of rope or cord and go down that path until you come to the pond?"
"To the pond, right?"
"And look about until you find a nice heavy stone or a fairly large brick would do."
"I see," I said, though I didn't, still being fogged.
"Stone or brick? Yes, and then?" "Then," said the relative, "I want you, like a good boy, to fasten the rope to the brick and tie it round your damned neck and jump into the pond and drown yourself. In a few days I will send and have you fished up and buried, because I need to dance on your grave."